are being stated. You recall that beginning early on in the book of Genesis, we're introduced in chapter 12 to a man by the name of Abraham. Right? It's interesting that the book of Genesis is really easily divided up into two sections. The first section, the first 11 chapters, talks about four major events. And then the second section, chapters 12 through 50, talk about four people, specifically, majorly, about four people. Abraham is one of them. You recall that early on God had told Abraham, you get up and you go to the land that I'm going to show you. You leave your family, you leave your kindred from your father's house, Genesis 12:1, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to make of you a great nation. Increase your seed. All nations of the earth will be blessed through or by you. Remember that? And so he sets out on this journey. And we think about the great faith that it must have taken for Abraham to have left Ur and to have traveled where he did, not knowing what was on the horizon, not knowing what was going to happen, leaving the sense of familiarity behind him, maybe getting out of his comfort zone and setting out to do what God has instructed him to do. He's mentioned among those of Hebrews chapter 11 as being faithful. In process of time, the Bible says that the Lord said unto Abraham, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I, Genesis 22:1. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now stop right there. Most of you have children. I have children. Went several years having only one son. I could not imagine God telling me to offer your son, your only son, Ethan. Had I been in his shoes, I wonder what my response would have been. Would I have said, Lord, I'll do anything for you, but I won't do that. I cannot do that. Would we? I don't know. What? Most of you know how this turns out, but I want to call your attention to what the very next verse says. God says, you go and you offer your son. And then notice, if you will, verse 3. And Abraham rose up. What's this? Rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. We question whether or not, if we'd been Abraham, that we would have even done that. Much less if we would have rose up early in the morning to be about it. You know what happens a lot of times when we know that something is going to take place? Perhaps the next day or whatever the case may be, we dread getting up. Now, I'm not going to speculate as to how he felt. He was a father and I'm a father. But here it was that he rose up early in the morning, made preparation to do what God said. Remember as they went, Isaac said, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? God will provide. Makes a good study. God will provide. And God did. But I just wonder, had we been Abraham, would we have gotten up early in the morning to have done that? What a lesson for us to get today. Again, he's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. That he was faithful to God. He's mentioned again in James chapter 2. As the Bible talks about a saving faith in James chapter 2. Notice, if you will, with me in verse 21, beginning. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? I told you before, if you don't use the King James Version, that word wrought just simply means two things that are working together to produce the desired outcome. His faith and his works meeting together, working together, is what that passage is talking about. And the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now watch this. He was called the friend of God. Amen. Would you have gotten up early in the morning? Would you have set the alarm clock at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., or somewhere closer to noon? I don't know. But I know it serves us well as an example. You know, it's been said that one of the proofs that the Bible is inspired of God is the fact that the Bible is concise. When the children of Israel was numbered, begin at the book of Numbers, not all of them were numbered, but the ones that were numbered was over 600,000. Remember that? I suppose God could have used any number of individuals out of the, perhaps it's been estimated up to 3 million people that made the Exodus journey. Suppose He could have used any of those examples, but we have the example of Abraham and some others. And it serves us well as we think about Bible early risers. But I think about another one. I'm impressed by this one. It serves us again well as these other ones do. And this one I want you to come back a couple of chapters to Genesis chapter 20. Abraham didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what type of people that he was going to be confronted with or meet along the way. He didn't know if the fear of God would be amongst the people of which he would encounter along this journey that he was going to make. And so one of the things that he required of Sarah was, when we go into a strange place, I want you to tell the people that you're my sister. Because I'm concerned, I'm worried that if they realize that you are my wife, they are going to take you, perhaps kill me, but they're going to take you. And so show me this kindness. Tell people that you're my sister. Well, indeed, the text tells us that she was basically his half-sister. Amen. But this is what he required of Sarah, that he asked of his wife. Well, obviously, not everyone knew that. And in Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous man, a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she's my sister, and she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands, I've done this. That's Genesis 20, verse 5. Verse 6 always impressed me. I don't know all the depth of verse 6, I'll confess to you. God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered or allowed I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Now I want you to notice for our second point, verse 8. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. What did you see, Abraham? The question is, why did you do this? Well, the reason's given in verse 11, as I mentioned earlier. Abraham said, I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. But in verse 14, Abimelech took sheep and oxen, men servants, women servants, gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah's wife. Behold, my land is before thee. He said, dwell where it pleaseth thee. I ask you this morning, if you came to the realization that you had sinned before God, how soon would it take you to make correction? How soon would you do that? Here we have an individual that's indicating in the text that he did so as soon as it was possible to do so. He rose up early in the morning and did that. I want to suggest to you, if we've done wrong, we ought not let the sun go down. We ought not pill our head at night until we make correction of that, if that's possible. But I ask you, if we can't make things right of which we've done wrong, restore some things, perhaps that we ought to restore, whatever the case may be, until the next day, how soon will we be about doing that? How soon would we be about doing that? In Acts 17:30, God once winked at this ignorance, but now, that is now, right now, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because there's coming a judgment. Verse 31. Jeremiah 7:3. Amend your ways, your doings. Make them right. Do better. Do right. Make some changes. Folks, some rise not early in the morning, and in fact don't rise at all to make correction of their sinful ways. What about me? What about you? What would you have done if you'd been Abimelech? Would you have risen early in the morning to do those things? Oh, there's others that the Bible talks about. Like in the book of Genesis chapter 28. Remember the lineage, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Genesis 28. Beginning with verse 10, we read about Jacob having this dream, verse 12. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and on the top of it reached to heaven, or the top of it. Behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He says in verse 15, I'm with you. In verse 16, Jacob awaked out of his sleep and says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Pay attention to verse 18. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth of it, or give the tenth unto thee. Rose up early in the morning. If God will feed me, if God will give me raiment, if God will take care of me, you think in process of time that God did that with Jacob? I ask you, if you believe that He did, how do you know that? If God will do these things and He's going to be my God, I'll follow Him. We know that God did, because from the mouth of Jacob himself He declared, He confessed that God did that. Come with me to chapter 28, or 48 rather. Genesis 48. Not going to be long before He dies. He's going to put off His earthly tabernacle. Watch verse 15. And He blessed Joseph and said, watch this, what did He say? God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Early riser. Early to get up and to make a vow, a dedication, a promise, if you will, of what He was going to do. God took care of them. Folks, He takes care of people today. We've talked about in the past about physical blessings, Matthew 5:45, and of course all the spiritual blessings that are afforded to His children in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. When's the last time that you rose early in interest of spiritual things? You can say this morning, right? You got up early this morning. Perhaps before dawn, to make preparation to do the very thing that you're doing this morning. To come out among God's people to worship God in spirit and in truth. That encourages me. There's those among us who ready themselves even earlier, perhaps. No doubt before I do. To take care of responsibilities at home with themselves and even with children or others that they may be taken care of. To come out to this building to make sure that the Lord's Supper can be observed. June, Marilyn, and others that may help them in that. You ought to thank them and give them words of encouragement that they came out early before you did, before I did, to do that. Don't take that for granted. Say, preacher, you know what? I'm not being early about doing the things that I ought to be doing. Well, tomorrow, if we're blessed with one, will be a new day, fresh with no mistakes in it. Start anew. I'm not saying get up at 3 a.m. in the morning and forsake other responsibilities. I'm provoking us to be zealous unto good works. Be busy about doing the things that God would have us to do. And so, Abraham, Abimelech, Jacob, serves as good examples. And I'll share three more with you. This time come with me to the book of Exodus chapter 24. The children of Israel had departed out of Egypt. Going to go through the wilderness. Going to camp at Sinai. Later they're going to encamp the plains of Moab before they cross over to the promised land. That'll be a lot of years later. In Exodus 24:1. He said unto Moses, the Lord did come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall they go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said we will do. Now watch verse 4 for our fourth point. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, watch this, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel, sent young men of the children of Israel which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar, and he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient. He got up early in the morning and built an altar. You know what Hebrews chapter 3 says concerning Abraham, or concerning Moses rather? He was faithful in all his house. He could have shirked that responsibility. He could have procrastinated. We have any procrastinators among us? Sometimes I fall into that category of procrastinating and putting off work that ought to be done now. There's lessons for me. In Hebrews 11:23, turn to that passage with me. Hebrews 11:23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. As you think about Moses and these others, how do you stack up? Do you have any ground to make up? We need to be busy, zealous, to do those things. I mentioned a moment ago about those that come out to do things early before we do. Take the time to also mention Sister Ruby and Eula, who come out to fold your bulletins each and every Lord's Day. Long time before you make it out to the building. Encourage them in that. And there's others that no doubt could be mentioned. What about Joshua? Joshua chapter 3. You recall that Joshua was a successor of Moses. Moses, a servant of the Lord. Moses, this great servant and leader of God's people. In Joshua chapter 1, Moses, my servant, is dead. Genesis 1:2. But he tells Joshua to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Remember that? Be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1:6-7. We know from Exodus 24:13 that Joshua was a minister of Moses, been with him even when he was young. When Joshua was young, he was one of the two that steadied Moses' hands, his arms, when they fought against Amalek. Remember that? Exodus 17:8-16, one of the two faithful spies, Numbers 13. And again, Joshua chapters 1 and 2, a successor of Moses, commissioned out to be the leader of Israel and take them into the promised land. Joshua 3 and in verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Had you been Joshua, would you have risen early in the morning to lead God's people on? Would you? I'm thankful for people in leadership positions, roles. Takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? Be of good courage. I'm with you. Early about doing that. One more for this morning. And this comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17. By the way, if that certainly is your turn there, leave someone out who's an early riser to come out and to get things ready. That's not on purpose. Or blame it on the weakness of my fleshly mind. Mark is another good, hard worker. Works on the baptistry, does a website, and those sorts of things. And need to encourage him in that good work. 1 Samuel 17:20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. If we were to stop here and ask you what's the context of that, you know what was going on? They were at war. David was young. He had brothers who went on to the battle, right? And his dad said, go check and see how they are. Go check. Go to thy brethren. Verse 17. Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and so forth. The Bible says that David rose up early in the morning and left him as Jesse his father had commanded. Children, at the commandment of your dad, would you have enough respect and honor to rise early in the morning to be about what your father had commanded you to do? We live in a time today when so many children disregard the instruction of their parents. Count it as nothing. Rebellious. Stubborn. Self-centered. Lazy. And that does not represent all of our youth. It does many, I understand. We've got so many youth among us this morning who do not fit that bill. Think about the young men who take part in the services. Busy about learning. Busy about their studies. Busy about doing the things that they ought to be doing. Busy about Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember that. Busy about Ephesians 6:1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that thou mayest live long on the earth. If there's any among us today that does not describe you, do better. Obey your parents. Love your mom and your dad. If you don't love your mother and father who's before your very eyes, you'll never get that principle with your Father in heaven whom you've never seen. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Think of this. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. David was an early riser. We just read that. And also Psalm 57, verse 8, I'll seek thee early. Acts 13:22 describes David as a man after God's own heart. Early Bible risers. I hope this lesson has got us to thinking about being excited and zealous unto good works. Early about doing the business that God would have us to do. We're going to look at six more tonight, Lord willing. Should you be in this audience this morning, have never obeyed the gospel of Christ?